Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Welcome back. Two fanboys and a filthy casual back at you once again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Today we're going to be talking about something a little bit personal. You know, especially these days where people are talking about how, you know, as their childhood has been destroyed by certain things, you know, whether it's through relationships, whether it's through, you know, bad experiences. Today we're going to be kind of incorporating that. And I know this sounds like a really, really serious topic, but don't worry. It's we're going to stay on brand and we are still going to be doing our usual shtick. Speaking of shticks, Lewis.
Yeah, let's get started with
shtick.
Yeah, our first shtick. Let's get into our potpourri. So, what
it's a minor shtick.
Huh?
It's a little small.
It's Lewis's shtick, so it's kind of short.
It's a little shtick. Hey, man.
Short?
Short?
Damn it.
It's short. I hate you guys.
Oh, painful. So, let's get started with some potpourri. Actually, let's start off with one of the rumors, gossips going around the interwebs recently that kind of got a lot of us in this room a little triggered, but rumor has it that there is talks of a Back to the Future reboot, remix, or I don't know what to call it.
How dare you? Are you really talking about this right now?
Let's start off. You know, let's start
piss
off with a bang.
Both Harold and Dennis, right?
Yeah, let's get right on it because yeah, it hits both of our demographics here pretty
Guess
hard
what?
Because
Doctor Who sucks.
It wasn't me who started the rumor. It's
I know, but you're the one.
Hey, guess what? The woman doctor gonna get canceled pretty soon.
Oh, come on, man!
After but, 50 years,
after exactly. Tom Holland of all people, I guess during his press tour for his most recent movie, Onward, which I'm sure Dennis already bought tickets for, has said that there has been talks of a Back to the Future, like I said, reboot or remake, starring himself, and I'm not sure who else, but there you go. So what?
Robert Downey Jr.
I know exactly.
You've seen that deepfake yes. right now.
I mean, that is super creepy, by the way. But let's talk Back to the potential for a Back to the Future remake with Tom Holland as either Marty or, you know, maybe Doc Brown. I don't know. Just kidding.
Well, I'll start because, you know, I don't have any strong feelings about this. For those people
this
who are
is about to throw something at me real quick.
For those people who know the history of Two Fanboys and Filthy Casual, you know, I'm not a fan of Tom Holland. But as the episode, two episodes ago when we talked with Kersia, and one of the things that I talked about is I actually watched a Tom Holland film. Now, it was a Tom Holland / Will Smith film where, you know, you have the best and then you have the worst. So it lands in the middle, so I was okay with it. I don't know. I think this is one of those things where it's definitely a cash grab. Using nostalgia as a way to kind of, you know, bring something that beloved up. You know, I'm hoping they learn from Ghostbusters. You know, I could be wrong, but you know they have a new Ghostbusters movie coming up. But you know they tried rebooting it. Whether or not it's because of the style they were going for, whether or not they were going the fact that they chose an all woman cast. You know, I've always said that I think that's one of the better. I think I told you this. I like that better than Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm a fan of that. But look at the fan reaction when it came time to rebooting something that beloved. So who knows? Maybe because it's somebody people actually like, which is Tom Holland, people might actually accept this this reboot. But I am not for it. Harold?
Ah, man, here we go.
Take a deep breath.
For me, there's certain properties that should remain untouched. It's just, why? Why even try? You know what I mean? Like, they never tried creating or remaking or redoing the original Exorcist. They never really tried doing that for original Star Wars. They made sequels to these things, but then, like, same thing with Back to the Future. That's the only storyline that matters, is the original story and then what continues with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they're saying they're adding on to it, which they shouldn't, because at the end of the, you know, part three, the freaking train, like Doc Brown has a train and he's stuck with his two nerdy kids. But that's where the story ends. There should not be, like, I mean, there's no need to continue it. They tried remaking Ben-Hur. Remember?
I totally forgot about that. You're right. And I remember seeing
it. Everybody tried forgetting it.
Yeah, and it tanked hard because Ben-Hur is an untouchable property. Like, you'd always remember the original version of that. No one, if you ever make a Back to the Future remake or whatever, no one's going to remember this version because they're going to say, that was great, but the original was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't know. That, things like that is like the creativity in Hollywood where it's like, okay, let's make a remake of this. I would always say, you can remake any property you want to modernize it, but don't remake this one because it's the fact that it is stuck in the 80s. And it's like, yeah, we're going to the future now, and then that technically that future's in our past already.
That's crazy to me. Yeah, dude. But,
I mean, for them, no one was going. By the way, if Marty aged 20 years and he looked that bad, there's something, I mean, obviously there's something wrong with Marty. But in terms of movie term, like him and... It went really south really quick for those guys. But, like, leave everything, just for me, maybe, and I know there's millions of other people who are feeling the same way, where it's like, this is a property that is pretty much sacred to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's blasphemous to even bring up the idea. And it's all because, you know, like that, like we're talking about that deepfake video where people were like, oh, you know, Tom Holland and Robert Downey Jr., when people are going to watch that, they're going to be like, oh, Spider-Man's talking to Iron Man.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of baggage when it comes to those two now. Or, you know, yeah.
It's just in general, anybody who's going to be stuck into that cast is going to be like, comparisons are going to be automatic mm-hmm. because no one will ever be able to capture that kind of feel that, you know, Michael J. Fox was able to capture.
Yeah.
And it's impossible. It's like them trying to remake the Goonies for me if they ever do those Ooh. Things. Like, you can update that, but then just don't call it the Goonies or like.
So here's the question. Aside from Lewis kicking the table, what in your definition? What's the difference between remake and a reboot or an update?
A remake is literally saying, "This is the movie." But this is the new version of the movie. A reboot is like, this is a different version of that movie. Like Ghostbusters Answer the Call is a reboot of the Ghostbusters franchise. It was never saying this is a remake of Ghostbusters because, you know, they were giving homage to the previous characters and whatnot. And, a remake is literally... like what they did with Psycho, where it's like,
it's like a shot for shot.
Almost, it was an attempt at shot for shot, mm-hmm. but also saying nothing about this is original. We're literally writing the coattails of the original going, yeah. Hey, you remember that version that you liked? Here is the updated version with iPhones.
Yeah, that's so lame.
Now, would you be okay then if they do this, but it's kind of like the Last Jedi, like kind of like, you know,
kind of like Creed or even
Cobra Kai. If we do it where for some reason somehow somebody finds the DeLorean or something,
yeah,
that's like, fine. But as long as you don't like say this is the new Back to the Future, this is a continuation of Back to the Future, which you could still do, and I wouldn't be as offended. I'd probably check it out just to check it out. But literally saying, no, this is the new this is your version of Back to the Future. This is what you have, like kids nowadays, this is what they're going to say when they say Back to the Future.
Yeah. No, I think that's what Creed and like Cobra Kai did well in the its advertising. They didn't advertise it as like, it's not a replacement of the story you love. This is a continuation of those stories. So yeah, if it turns out that Tom Holland is, I don't know, Marty's son, grandson. Or Doc Brown's grandson, and yeah, like because I think that's what, I mean, obviously the new Ghostbusters with Paul Rudd is coming out this summer or later this year.
Yeah,
That seems to be what they're teasing, is that, you know, this kid or this little town uncovers that they have a dark secret, or not, at least you know have a goat. They have Ecto One.
A goat.
They have a ghost. A ghost, just one. They have a secret history with the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It looks like it's, they're hinting it's Egon's like.
Yeah. It's was one of his children or progeny. But if they do that, if they do like an uncover or a reveal scene where like you know the Tom Holland. They dusts off the DeLorean. That would be nice. It would be crazy because, yeah, I think rebooting a series is just not the way that they want to do it nowadays. I think it's like, I can't even think of a successful one. I mean, I love Dark Fate, but that was kind of a soft reboot because they told the asses to basically ignore Terminator 3 and onwards. But even then, obviously, it was not a big commercial success. You know, I'm sure there's lots of other examples of reboots and remakes that just did not hit well. I think it's better to just respect the history of Back to the Future and build from there. I don't think a shot for shot like, yeah, oh, Marty now has an iPhone. You know, that's kind of lame. Or can you imagine if it's like instead of the DeLorean, it's a Tesla truck? Sorry. Harold just passed.
Everyone was always going with that idea. And then it doesn't make sense because it'd literally be like ignoring Back to the Future 2. Because they'd be like, none of that, whatever technology doesn't exist, now you have to pretend it, you know, messed up. Oh, come on.
Yeah. So it's like, they're going to travel to the year 2035? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, however the math works
out. Whatever next year is.
Yeah.
2022. That's last year.
Nuts. Anyway, so hopefully they do it right if it does happen. But like I said, it's a rumor. So, you know, don't take my word for it. It's the internet. Everything's lies until it's proven.
Since we're talking about potpourri and reboots, the one other one I kind of want to talk about is upcoming movie coming in March, I believe, which is a reboot.
That's
Mulan. You know, and I know Lewis Harold has had issues with their remakes. Just
an issues, period.
You know, so remakes. I guess I wouldn't call it a reboot. Remakes of Disney classics.
And, yes.
You know, you talked about auto tuning for Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. You talked about just Will Smith not being
Robin Williams
for Aladdin.
And whatever it was that Lion King happened to be.
Yeah, and the travesty, according to Harold, that Lion King is. But we do have the newest one coming out, which is Mulan. Sorry.
Probably won't hear that in the movies.
Or will you?
Or will we?
Margaret Cho shows up out of nowhere. Hey, you guys remember this bit from 20 years ago?
She's the grandma that dresses him.
The whole theater just goes.
So, you know, so I don't know, Harold, considering all the gripes, considering all the complaints that you had with the past ones, it almost feels like somebody in Disney like overheard you. And it was like, okay, what does Harold not like?
Yeah, F this guy.
Okay.
Shot for shot.
No, we'll take that out. You know, songs that cannot be sung properly. Okay, let's take that out.
Fine, take out all the songs.
So, like, there are so many things that got taken out. Like, one of the things, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but Shang is not going to be there now. No. And did you guys hear why Shang is not going to be
there?
The Me Too movement.
How so? I'm sorry.
Because of the fact that they're saying, the director was talking about how in society today, in the environment today, it's uncomfortable to have somebody that is of power, like the general,
mm-hmm.
be you know, all of a sudden have romantic feelings for some one of his underlings.
I see.
Power trip. Going on, and whether or not we agree with that, that's a different conversation.
Curious, you know. Okay.
But I wanted to kind of throw that out. What do you guys think of Mulan, and how do you think it's going to pan out?
I mean, from the commercials, it already looks different.
Yeah. Different. Come on.
Yeah, I know. So I mean, it looks like they're trying to take like a more action-y kind of route to it. Not that it's apples to apples, but I. The Great Wall, starring Matt Damon. Was on HBO, and it kind of made me feel like, oh, is that what Mulan is going for that like epic quote unquote epic, you know, Eastern adventure type of thing. So, I mean, I see what they're trying to go for. Maybe they're just like you said, they're hedging their bets. Let's try to make it a 180 from what the kids or from the cartoons version. It would be interesting if it's a Disney movie without a Shang. So do we know if there's going to be a love interest?
Yeah.
Because I do know that the whole Shang thing was kind of a loaded thing after the fact. It was like, so did he have feelings for Mulan when he thought he was still, what's a male?
Ping.
When he thought he was still Ping.
Ping.
Yeah.
I
love it. I know. I totally forgot it.
I don't know if you guys know that, but that's actually a controversy. Because supposedly I don't know if it's called a movement, but there are people who identify Shang as a bisexual man.
Right. Yes.
So the fact that you are taking out Shang out of there, now you're denying, you know, because he does have. It, maybe not romantic feeling, but he does have feelings towards, you know, utmost respect, you know, loyalty.
Romantic feelings.
Yeah.
So he wanted to see him succeed so much.
Yeah, succeed.
Yeah,
up that pole, get that apple, or get that arrow from that large pole. Climb it, Ping.
You see the meat arrow at the end of the brown pole?
Yes. Climb that. Climb it. I'm a tapping.
Be a man.
Be a man. You must be strict. Like, I enjoy.
You want to have Mushu climbing up a tree with a panda dressed up as a horse? Yeah. Come on.
Terrible. Like, if Eddie Murphy out of nowhere comes in, I'm done.
This is the movie that's catered to you, dude.
No, like literally, it's like, I mean, I've been saying I enjoy the trailers, and what I'm liking so far about everything is the fact that it's not
Mulan.
It's not Mulan. It's an epic with a character named Mulan. So it's the story's still the same.
Yeah,
like the main storyline is the same, but in like not going in too much of a different direction, but at least in a different direction, you know what I mean? Like, that's like my biggest complaint has been them staying the status quo and being like, this is what you guys love, so let's just keep the same movie, and then so people don't complain about it. Then you have me on the other end. It's like, why watch this new one? We can watch the old one.
Yeah.
Because there's live actors. So because
it's Jet Li.
Yeah. I mean, dude, any movie with Jet Li and Donnie Yen, I'm watching automatically.
That's very true.
And the fact that Donnie Yen is the guy that's going to be training everybody, which means Donnie Yen gets to train everybody. Like, you know, Ip Man being like, what's up? You know?
Ip Man in the training montage, dude. Yeah. Hey, dude. I'm in on that
one. And they play the song in the background and not any of the characters singing it? Fine with that. Reflection, if they do an instrumental version.
Mm-hmm.
But if she does it, I'm fine with that,
no,
too.
No, there's no songs.
That's good. That's perfect. That's
officially no songs.
That's awesome. Just because, you know, like, Mulan is one of the movies where the songs make sense. You know what I mean?
Thematically, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In terms of the storyline and in incorporating it into the actual mm-hmm. movie, like, if Mulan isn't singing the song Reflection, she's talking the word, like, she's saying the lyrics to herself when she's looking at her reflection, you know? She doesn't have to be singing it, but, you know, obviously, we do. So, but everything else, you can cut it all out, and you have, like you said, like a Great Wall, except without a white savior.
Yeah.
Where the savior is actually going to be, you know, an actual soldier from the Chinese army or whatever it's supposed to be. And you have...
But Jet Li in Mandarin is white. Actually, that's what it means.
Is it?
No, I'm joking. I
was like, you stumped me so hard. I was like, no. You know why his name is Jet Li, though, right?
Because he's not rough. He's very Jet Li.
No, it's because...
Do it Jet Li.
It's because when he was younger,
Dosimo.
He met Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. Because Dennis loves the movie Jet Li. That's right. It's good. Finally got there. Jet Li.
Lewis, I mean, we have opinion. I'm curious. What do you think? Unless you already said it, I was in.
No, no, no.
You did say it.
A little bit. Like, it's an interesting look. I mean, at least from the trailers. Yeah, having a Disney movie without songs will be different. Having a Disney movie without a romantic lead, again,
there's still
different.
A romantic lead.
Oh, is there still? Okay, yeah. Okay. It's just not going to be Donnie Yen or no, whoever.
It's going to be that guy.
Oh, thanks. Great.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be interesting, and not to mention, I think we talked about
that
it
in
our.
Yeah, he's Vietnamese.
Out of nowhere, whoa! I got recruited.
Guy spelled GY. It's that guy.
In his first role, that guy.
So he should be writing stuff. Can't stop us, man.
Oh man. And so, and also, I think the bad guys have been remixed a little bit too. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, there's a witch now. Sorry, a witch, and I can't remember the main bad guy from the cartoon.
The monk, Shen Yu, Shen Yun, the freaking Chinese belly,
the Chinese billboards. Shang Shen. So they got rid of those guys. So I mean, it's a different look. So I mean, yeah, it's a total 180 from the cartoons. So I'll give it a try. To be honest, I mean, I've been half and half with the live action movies lately. I actually haven't seen Lion King yet. I might give it a try this afternoon. Yeah, because I guess it's on Disney Plus now to Harold's chagrin.
It is.
No, I'm joking.
So
have you watched Lady and the Tramp?
Not yet.
Oh man, it's crazy when the gal get like castrated at the end.
So is that what happened with Lion King also?
Yeah. But then at the end of the Lion King, they don't have Sarah McLachlan coming out singing "In the Arms of the Angels."
Wow!
Adopt these dogs.
Oh, nice. I like how that went everywhere.
Dude, I was like, wow!
That's what I
was like. Wasn't she God from Dogma? Throwback to the last episode. Yes.
Shout out to Alanis.
They're the same person, right?
Yeah. The same person.
Personally, I don't know. I think you're the one, Harold. You said that you actually like Jungle Book, right?
Yes.
I couldn't get into it, to be honest with you. Like, and I think that's that's the Disney file in me, where if I hear,
it's illegal in 38 states.
California? No? Okay.
Sorry, we're good.
We're pretty loose about it.
Yeah, we're pretty open about what we can file about here.
But I don't know. When I hear Jungle Book, I need to hear
Bare Necessity.
You know, so that's the one thing. It's going to be interesting to consider who Disney is actually targeting this time around. Because maybe they're intentionally not saying it so that the parents are going to bring in their kids. But I got to tell you, I don't know if I'm bringing in my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's supposed to be PG-13 or
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
PG-13, okay, of epic fights and everything, cool. But my daughter is going to be there to see a princess movie, you know. And even though Mulan technically is not a princess, you know, in even in the original movie, you know, there's certain expectations what it is. So it's going to be interesting considering this. And I know we try not to be topical, considering that the coronavirus is coming, is still here,
mm-hmm.
And it's, I believe, March 28 is when it's coming out.
I think so.
Yeah.
So
unless sometime this month, yeah.
Unless they postpone it, you know, people are talking about how the numbers aren't going to be as spectacular as the others. So it's going to be interesting what's going to happen.
You know, the one thing the one rule about PG-13 movies is, right, they're allowed one F-bomb.
Ooh.
I didn't know that was a rule.
Not a rule, but it's like, it's a gift. Like, you know,
there's a ceiling.
In every Fast and the Furious, they're like, everyone's allowed to say the F word one time.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep imagining like when that avalanche is about to happen and Mulan just looks up. She's like,
she's just going to whisper it.
Thank you for not making me bleep anything else.
Yes.
Damn.
It's funnier if you miss the beep and just let me say it. Like,
okay, that's.
Oh no, I think Harold had another hot take. You.
Yeah, I just want to give you guys a story real quick.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Please.
I could save that hot take for another one, but so I was in Las Vegas recently for my friends.
So, you know, this might be a little too.
No, it's not too bad.
Just do it gently.
Do it, Simon.
Do it gently. Immediately, Muran. A racist.
This story.
And by the way, you already said your F bomb once, so you're, that's it. Yeah, it's the PG-13 podcast.
Oh, wait. So does that mean I don't need to edit that one?
No, man. We're trying to get like everywhere at one time.
Okay, just check it.
But I was in Las Vegas for my friend's bachelor party, a good friend of mine who I've known since he was a child.
On his other podcast.
And my other podcast. I recorded with those guys, all snoring.
Jeez.
But.
Is that your ASMR?
Yeah. Guys. Oh. So I wish Lewis was there. Actually, this
check out our Patreon.
This room would be.
If you want an ASMR of this room snoring.
Oh, if there was a snoring OnlyFans, dude, we'd be kings.
But so you know, traditional bachelor party, whatever happens, it's just, nothing's crazy because we're now old. But we go to one of the establishments where women have less clothes than usual.
Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. But we go there, and I'm talking to one of the cashiers. Not just kidding. But I...
The cashier went, Harold!
That would have been the worst. That would
have been so terrible. She stamped his card. Welcome back.
Here's your frequent card. You remember
actually,
that.
Actually, she stuck her hand out. Where's my stamp?
I said, you know where my stamp is. It's got some ink on it.
Don't give me your hand.
If you want a wristwatch, I got that too. Wristbands.
Pinky band. Pinky band.
No. Pinky nail band. You gotta take off your nail, then maybe I can do it. But we went to a place, and as someone who no longer drinks, it's always awkward being in situations like that. Because, you know, just sitting there. So I got bored, but one of my friends was like, oh, we had drink tickets. Can you go get me a drink at the bar? I was like, sure. So I decided, you know, go get some Red Bulls over at the bar. At the bar at this establishment, which is super busy because it's Saturday night, I see a girl playing Pokemon Go inside the club where she does not have a lot of clothes on.
Oh, she works there.
She works there.
Hold on. I'm trying to figure out what Pokemon would be. A Vulpix? No.
Is there a...
Sounds like vulva.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, that's what she was... But she was literally just sitting there playing Pokemon Go. And I was just like, are you playing Pokemon Go? She goes, yeah, I just got into it. And, you know... I got my technique down and everything, and then I was like, is there a gym near here? She goes, this is the gym. And I was like, that's sad, but also awesome, because people who would actually go to the club and decide, oh, you know what, I need a farm and like pick up like new Pokemon and stuff. It's like, you'd have to go to, it sounds like a gem, but it's not really a gem. So it's not a ruby or a diamond, but maybe like a sapphire. So when you go to places like that, it's...
Opal?
Yeah. No, she has her own TV show. But so we go there. I go there. I'm talking to the girl. And literally, I had no idea. I spent an hour talking to this girl about mobile video games. She has the bare minimum of clothing. Not interested at all in trying to make money that night. Just trying to play her video game. Asking me, do you play Pokemon Go? I was like, oh, I used to. She's like, so what do you play now? I was like,
that was your shot.
Come on, man. That's what I was thinking the whole time, right? So it was just funny to me, because you never realize, or you never sometimes figure out where conversations are going to begin. And for me, it was just weird in the fact that, you know, we're at this place where it's supposed to be a party, and there's a girl in the corner of a bar, like, just chilling, not even trying to work and everything, but, like, playing Pokemon Go. And then... her asking, what do I play? And I show her, that's going to sound funny. I show her my Clash Royale. And then she's like, can I watch you play? And I was like, is this some kind of weird foreplay? Like,
do I have to pay you?
Yeah, like, I was like, is this free?
Do you pay me now?
And then, no, and then it's, but it's funny because we're sitting there and she's paying. She's like, whatever he wants, put it on my tab. And I was like, oh, I don't drink. She's like, oh, whatever. She's like,
even
whatever,
better.
Yeah, she's like, whatever soda you want, just put it on my tab. And I was just like,
Shirley Temple?
I was like, do you just go here not to work? And she's like, I was thinking about working, but our conversation was so much fun that I just decided I'm not going to work today. And I was like, did I turn the girl of ill whatever. And then so later on, my friends are like, oh.
Yeah, didn't they send you to get drinks?
Yeah, and then they were like, where are you?
Where's my drink?
They kept on texting me like, where are you? And I'm like,
hold on, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, they assumed that I had paid for like, you know,
the champagne room.
Service in the champagne room. And I was like, no, I was talking to a dork. And they later on were like, can you find us a cigarette? For some reason, we want a cigarette. And I was like,
well, just one cigarette?
Yeah, one cigarette to share for like four dudes, which is funny to me.
Coronavirus.
Not a euphemism.
Right? The coronavirus was pretty much all over that place. One cigarette was not saving anybody. Not sharing the cigarette. But there was like, so I go back to her and she goes, oh, did you come back to download Pokemon Go and play with me? And I was like, I came for a cigarette. She's like, oh, is that all I'm good for? I was like, I talked to you about freaking Pokemon Go, a game I haven't played in 3 years, for an hour. And she's just like, well, you know, I thought we had something special. And I was just like, this is too weird for me.
It's very meta, dude.
It was like, I'd appreciate
if this is sadly on brand.
Right? For me, it's super on brand. Where I'm trying to get weird and uncomfortable, and then she's like, you know, trying to be homie-ish, and I'm like, dude, I wanted to enjoy the night, like looking at people, but I'm stuck here talking about video games. And I was just like, yep, that sounds about accurate on where my life is. And so,
did you show her your Call of Duty?
Oh no,
it's a big duty.
I gave her my barrel marksman. That's a Call of Duty joke.
It's a golden gun.
My golden guy.
Wait, do I bleep that out? Or
I don't care about my last name being on this thing.
Check it. Okay,
it's so well established.
So, wow. What a weekend for you in Vegas.
Yeah, so, that being, you know. For our listeners out there, could you give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down or whether or not you agree with Harold here?
Okay, here's my question to everybody else. What should I have done?
Download the freaking Pokemon Go app right then and right there. Text me, hey, what's your passcode so I can share her my shinies. Share her my
shinies. No, that's what she was talking about. She was talking about, she's like, oh, I found so many shinies today. And I was just like, what? I don't remember that part of the game.
See? And then she had that was your opening. It was like, let me show you. Wow,
yeah. Wow, wow. I said, I don't remember the game, but I got a Pokeball in my pocket.
Want to show you my Hitmonchan? Damn it, dude.
Okay, right, I failed on that one.
You failed so bad.
I was so confused. I'm like, so
no.
My fandom was
she hit you with confused. Like, ah. Yeah.
She cast that spell pretty hard, dude. I was like, huh?
Harold's confused.
Like, this is the thing.
He hurt himself in the process.
Yeah. Because the thing was, here's the thing. She's very pretty. And she's very...
Oh,
she's,
there you go. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, first pretty. And foremost... Female.
Yeah, so I'm automatically awkward. But the thing that I kept on fighting with myself is like, am I more attracted to the mind or the body right now? Because, you know, that never happens for me at a place of ill intent like that. You know, you never be like, oh man, I really went for the conversation.
Victoria's
Secret. And
this time
I was there for the conversation. So, yeah. Paid $40 to get into that.
I have to tell you, Lewis, that story kind of traumatized me. Which, surprisingly, is what we're talking about today.
Well done.
See, thank you very much.
Very good.
It's almost like I podcast for a living. Or for
a side living.
For hobbies. For hobby.
Wait. I'm like Harold there. I'm going to be paying her. I'm paying you guys so that you guys could talk to me.
I actually kind of have to go back a little bit, too. Did you say that your homies gave you tickets for the drink?
Yeah. When you pay for entrance, you get, like...
Oh, is that how it works now? I thought it was like,
hey, look, old fogey.
We haven't been in a while. I was confused.
Do you like Venmo? I was like, bloop. Here you go.
I still have free tickets if you guys want to use them for drinks.
Okay.
So if you guys drive all the way to Las Vegas.
Wasted on you, dude.
Yeah. They were like, here's some drink tickets. And I'm like,
sober guy.
I was like, I can do one Red Bull before, like, you know, things go south really bad.
Before my heart and my sugar level explode.
Before the vape's like, hey, bro, come on, stop. Like one dangerous thing at a time here, my friend.
Okay, I thought that was a new thing. But anyway, go ahead. So, yeah, let's talk about... So, yeah, that seems like a very fun, scarring experience. But let's talk about trauma. So... Yeah.
Trauma.
Trauma. You know, not going to lie, I'm sure most of those dancers have had some kind of trauma, though.
Oh, there's the only reason they ended up there, you know?
Wow.
Yikes. Sorry.
Dude. She told me her whole life story, and I was like, yeah, it's not that bad. Oh. And then she was like, oh, yeah. And then I ended up here. I was like, oh, that's bad. And then I was like, yeah, literally, she should have been paying me for therapy, because I was like, I mean, but it's hard to, like, talk to a therapist when, like, her bikini's half off.
Yeah, and it's like, oomps, oomps, and it's like, buy you a drink. The T-Pain's playing on the background. Recently on our Facebook group, which feel free to join anytime you want to, folks, if you're listening to this.
What's our Facebook
group? It is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. So, yeah, like the page and then add us on the group. We'll gladly add you there. We three are admins. We'll gladly add any warm body that's not a bot trying to sell us random stuff online. You know, on a recent post, we had shared an image asking folks to share what movies traumatized them as children. And I got to tell you, it was one of our most active posts in a while. There are a lot of 80s and 90s kids who were ruined by basic cable. I think this would be a great opportunity for us here to talk about some of the movies that either ruined us as kids, made us look into dark areas a little skewed, or basically not trust a lot of things. So I want to give a shout out to a lot of our followers and the people in the group who were active that day. And I guess it was a very quiet Monday when I posted that. So yeah, thanks for talking and chatting with us.
Obviously, I wasn't paying attention because I didn't remember.
Well, this you topic. Actually have a job and you work, so you know mine obviously not so much. So I was able to kind of interact with a lot of our friends and family on that one. let's get into it, fellas. What movies?
Well, before we begin, first and foremost, you said traumatized, right?
Yeah.
When you're talking about children, what age range are we talking about? Because as
that's a good
you
point.
And I kind of talked about, well, at least I've talked about in the past, living in the Philippines, I didn't really start watching movies or TV at a greater clip after like 13 or, you know, that's when I started actually. So my story would be after that.
That's what?
Unless there's like a Pandai or a Darna
that
I don't know of.
I think you're right. I mean, I want to say maybe 15 would be the ceiling, because after 15, you're already in high school.
Oh, there's still things that traumatize me from
that's true
recent
too.
Stuff. So I'm talking.
That's a good point. Let's just keep it, I guess, just for the sake of conversation, let's keep it vague. Let's keep it general. Let's cover whatever
Lewis,
stuff
how about you start us off, since you're the one who...
You know what? Okay. One of the more recent movies that came out on Netflix that a lot of nerds and a lot of fanboys and fangirls were all in for was the Dark Crystal movie by Jim Henson. I wanted to say, like, when all of that came out, I'm looking to the corner like I'm talking to a therapist. But like,
Harold is lying down on a sofa. So
you know, it's like, do I have to pay you for a ticket? I totally forgot.
Not how therapists work. Oh, is that not it?
Wait a second, this isn't covered by Kaiser at all.
That's a different job than she was working at.
Do I swipe my Kaiser card at the front, or does the lady do it?
What kind of reader did you use?
Dark Crystal. So a lot of people in last year was all about it and was so happy to see that the new version was coming out on Netflix. I, for one, was not, because it was one of those repressed memories when I first saw the stuff. And then I Googled, or, you know, obviously being into pop culture and all that stuff, all of the articles and videos will come up. It's like, oh, here's what you miss, or here's how to do catch up. I hated those puppets that Jim Henson created. Like I said, it was a repressed memory, because it's one of those things, like, I didn't think about it until I saw it. And then I had like a visceral, cringy reaction of like, these puppets are horrifying to look at. I don't know how anybody back then, I think the original series came out in 87, 88. I don't know how anybody could sit through it. I still can't. So unfortunately, I have not seen the movie. Anybody and everybody has told me how great the new Dark Crystal series is, and how, you know, any fanboy could totally get into it. I can't. I'm not. You know, I love Jim Henson to death. Obviously, a big part of our growth or of our youth. He had a hand in everything.
Hand up everything.
Hand up everything. You know, I love him to death, but still, I cannot get into Dark Crystal.
One of the first ones I can think of, like, that I actually watched, because surprisingly, even though we didn't really have, you know, TV or a lot of American
electricity,
movies, electricity. I was actually able to see a one of the earlier Disney films, and that was my first introduction, I think, to Disney film. And the first one I want to talk about is Pinocchio. In particular, the pleasure. I know it sounds. I think it's
Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island. That whole scene, because I mean, you know, that whole movie was kind of cute. You know, I had a good message, and all of a sudden, it's at least for me when I was a kid, like a complete 180, because it's like, oh, they're drinking cigarettes.
They're drinking cigarettes.
I mean, sorry,
they were really high. They were really high.
They were smoking.
These guys
cigarettes.
Are ballers, bro. Smoking drinks.
But all of a sudden, they start turning into donkeys.
Yeah,
and all those things. That scene, trauma, like. It's not like I'm on a fetal position, but I was like, what the hell just happened? Yeah, and I honestly can't tell you, I don't think I've ever watched the end of Pinocchio, because after that, I was like, I'm out.
I'm going to go play outside.
You know, like Monstro becoming, you know, somewhere there. I don't know what it is. But the fact that all these, and they were really graphic about it, where kids, I think there was that guy Lampwick or something like that.
Yeah.
Where the Lampwick was like, just like, ah, you know, like all of a sudden transforming, like, oh my God, what the hell is this? So, I don't know, considering that it was a children's movie, it was a Disney movie, it was a cartoon movie, that all of a sudden you throw something. I mean, I get it. It's the whole idea of, well, you know, little boys can't be, shouldn't act like this, and this is what happens to little boys. But man, dude, considering everything that's happened in the whole world, you know, with kids, you know, with what happens to kids, and it was just really traumatic for me. And I think that's the first one I'm going to go with.
I'm going to go with Temple of Doom.
Okay, yeah.
That movie, two scenes in that movie ruined me. Technically three or four. But there's a lot of that movie.
The whole movie, dude, yeah.
Monkey's Brain screwed me up.
Dude, yeah. Oh, my God. See, I got another repressed one. Jesus. Yeah.
Sorry,
oh,
man. God.
That was actually pretty cool to me.
No, dude. They took off the...
They stuck the
monkey underneath the table. And it's like, oh, God.
Then like, here, take this out. Oh.
Sorry.
Go ahead, oh, please. He's retching over there.
Loser, I already triggered Lewis. Lewis is trying to like relax and be like, oh my God. I thought I was just doing trauma for
Lewis,
me.
We're going to do a potluck one of these.
You're just put a hole in the table like, oh, what goes there? Oh God!
Wait, why is Harold on the table?
That's what the hole's for. Different kind of traumatic moments can happen. It's just going to be a different kind of brain, if you know what I'm saying. See my monkey in his brain. All right.
I'd rather have that image stuck in my head now. Thank you, though. Instead of the monkey brain. Thank you.
But that scene, and also, obviously, when he pulls out the dude's heart. Mm-hmm, like,
mm-hmm. What do they say?
I'm Nam Che.
Okay, I was going to say Inukchuk.
Giant Native American.
I was going to start chanting. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the wrong one.
That's when Molaram becomes a giant Indian. Because they're in India.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you guys don't remember, Temple of Doom in India. It's just a messed up image of like actually showing him reach into the dude's chest and pull out his heart.
Yeah.
Like that messed me up. But then for some reason, so that those combination of events, I was already like, dude, this movie's like jacking me up because I only know Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of deal. And then when Indy turns bad for like those brief few seconds, just because of the fact that he's Indiana Jones, like superhero to me. And now he's like beating up Short Round because he thinks he's under a spell and he doesn't get it off until he gets burned. And I'm just like, this movie is bad. Like, it's messing me up. Like, I don't want to... Like, I was telling my cousin when watching it the first time, I was like, are we sure this is the same Indiana Jones? Because, like, you know, there was no heart pulling. There was no reaching into a crevice where there's bugs. And, like you have snakes in the first one. And, like, you know, it's not that bad. But, yeah. Her having to stick her hand... Ugh. Oh, sorry. I'm just not good with... So anyways.
Yeah. Oh, good. So it's funny because you brought up the heart pulling scene, and I remember when Mortal Kombat the first game came out, and people were like, "Oh, this is desensitizing kids to violence." I'm like, "Nah, Indiana Jones did that for us already."
At least when Kano did it, it looked really crappy.
It looked super pixelated. This one is like a beating red heart. It's like, thanks. Oh, fun times. This will be a good episode, man.
I love it.
I think we should go for drinks after this. So for my next scene, I kind of shared it already on the Facebook group when I first shared the image. But I have to go to one of my favorite movies, Superman the Movie. Specifically the scene...
Wait, you saw the armpit stain?
That just meant he worked hard, right? He's still a man, okay?
That just means the material wasn't made quite up to snuff.
Wasn't quite dry fit back then, dude. So one of the scene that scarred me the worst was it had to be the ending towards the end where in the climactic scene, Lex Luthor shoots two nuclear missiles on both coasts of the U.S. Superman has the Sophie's choice of like which do I save or which coast do I save? I'm only fast enough to save one. He goes to the East Coast. Saves that side of the country. Unfortunately, on the other side of the country, where Lois is in her car, the atomic bomb hits a fault, and California basically falls into the ocean. But before then, we have a graphic, at least what I thought was a pretty graphic scene of Lois stuck in her car, sinking slowly as the earth and the rocks and the soil basically eats her up in the car, and she is just screaming and crying and all that good stuff, to the point where movie came out in 79, so I think I saw it when I was 5 or 6, thinking, "Hey, Superman." That was painful to watch. It was really scarring to the point where I don't think I have claustrophobia, but any of those movies where it's like, they've had a couple of those movies where it's like a Buried Alive movie, even in scene in Kill Bill when the bride is stuck under the ground, I have to freeze. I'm like, oh God, this is so horrible. Just the thought of soil and and stuff going into my mouth and slowly choking. I was like, oh yeah, okay, good times. And so I went when Superman sees finds Lois under the ground and he screams from the gut from his guts, and he's so angry and so mad, and he spins the world backwards. I'm like, I can feel that. I would totally do that, because that's a horrible way to go. So yeah, there you go. Superman the Movie, one of my favorite movies with one of the worst traumatizing scenes in it.
So my question for you, if he chose the West Coast and Lois lived, would he still have turned
back? That's a good question. That's a good question. He'd be like, man, tough luck, Metropolis.
Yeah, he's like,
sorry, New York.
I lost my job, but it's not that important.
I got my girl. Look at all this beachfront property in California. You're welcome, West Coast.
Which I don't understand why he would, considering he's Superman and he needs sunlight. Why would you be in the East Coast?
Cold, cloudy.
You're right. It keeps him level.
Oh, okay.
Because you don't want to be too overpowered.
Okay.
Not when you're trying to hide your identity.
Too OP that you're... Okay.
He's just surfing out there. Really,
he sweats so much it goes through his leisure suit.
Wait, are you saying that Superman suit was velour?
Yeah. It said juicy on the butt, right?
Yeah, when you lift the cape, it says on his red trunks, it says
his red trunks. It just says, ooh. Right in the starfish.
This is wonderful fanfic, dude.
I tell you.
I wish I was an artist. I'd love to draw that.
My next one is, it's a really quick portion of it, but it comes from RoboCop, the original. Near the end of the movie, we have RoboCop finally, doing what he's doing. He's dishing out justice left, right. But there's one part where one of the bad guys gets doused in chemical. Chemical
toxic waste,
basically. And he looks like Toxic, the guy from Toxic Avenger, And then so he's already there. He's moaning in pain. He's all out of nowhere, a car comes, and then all of a sudden, squish, everything just explodes. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, don't get me wrong, that movie was terrible in like not in bad, but in like the number of people that got killed.
Oh, yeah.
The way he got massacred.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was actually, I thought that was actually going to be your traumatizing moment.
Yeah, I think I say when you get a hand shot off.
Everything about that movie is traumatizing, but surprisingly,
that one
thing, we're like, whoa, they actually were able to take it over the top. Yeah. Okay, kudos to you. That's another night where I'm not going to be able to sleep. Thank you.
You mean the guy getting shot in the wiener wasn't as bad?
No, not as bad, to be honest with you. But
he had it coming.
He's not coming anymore. I'll be here all day.
No, you won't.
No, I'll be here until the episode ends. It doesn't matter. My next one is a movie that I say I love, and then every time it comes on, I can't watch it. The
Notebook.
No, that too. I can't watch it. But Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, okay.
You ever seen Full Metal Jacket?
I've only seen like the TNT like edited version.
Yes. Oh, okay. So I'm pretty sure the trauma's not there.
There's one part in it that's going to be in the TNT version, and that's the part where the beginning part of the movie is them at training camp,
right? Yeah,
and they are bullying this one guy named Leonard, and they call
Vincent
him
D'Onofrio.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio. When he gained all that weight to be like a chubby.
Oh, guy. Did he really? Okay.
Yeah. Because he was Thor in Adventures of Babysitting. He was ripped. And then the next movie he does is Full Metal Jacket, where he's a fat guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, the whole movie is them being like, yeah, you can be better. And then he keeps messing up. So one night they decide to strap him down with bed sheets and then stick bars of soap in pillowcases.
Mm.
And they just decide to beat him, which is just watching him. They're hearing him scream while they're beating him was
rough,
super traumatizing. And that's when the movie takes a turn, in that he turns from this like scared little dude into a super soldier, basically, for a big guy. But to the point where all he knows now is military, so it's scary. So even at the end where gunnery sergeant tells him, you got into a different division. Congratulations. This is after them graduating. Their first night after graduating, everyone's sleeping except for you can hear someone reloading a gun, practicing the mantras in the bathroom. And it's Leonard or Gomer Pyle. And Matthew Modine, Joker, tells him, hey, man, you're going to get in trouble. Go to sleep. Hopefully nothing bad happens to you. And then the gunnery sergeant comes in and he's like, I told you to shut up, we're trying to go to sleep. And he shoots him.
Oh, yeah.
And then he turns the gun on himself. And the moments where he shoots gunnery sergeant Hartman and then proceeds to turn the gun onto himself, literally the movie turns right away into that line from Tulip Cruise, Me So Horny.
Mm.
Like, it's like, what do you get for $5? Anything you want. But right before that is a dude killing his sergeant and then killing himself. Like, blatantly, no cuts.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing his brains get splattered on the back of... dude.
I don't think I remember that in the TNT cut.
No. Their version literally just goes, Matthew Modine going, no! And then, and then you're like...
What happened?
So for a while, that was the version I had remembered. And then when my buddy was like, yeah, let's watch Full Metal Jacket at my house. And then I was like, So, I mean, man, to this day, the movie shows like every few months, like on HBO or Cinemax or something like that. And I catch myself watching it. And then
when you know it's coming,
I'm like, oh, what else is on for about 10 minutes? And then I'll come back to it when they're fighting in Vietnam. And then it's,
that's a rough one too.
Dude,
man, tough. Okay. So, I'm trying to think of another movie, but I actually kind of want to take a little bit of a detour. If I may, I'm going to talk about like one of the most traumatizing wrestling moments for me. Not exactly one of those huge wrestling. Actually, there was a WrestleMania payoff to it, but one of those things. It was a random episode of Raw or Monday Night Raw, I think it was, before it became the 3-hour juggernaut that it is now. It was actually a feud between Macho Man Randy Savage and Crush. I don't know if you remember this, age, but it was Crush. You know, he was a big dude.
I love the fact that Harold didn't. I mean, Lewis didn't even like consider maybe.
It would have been in.
Well, it was WrestleMania 10.
It was Crush, so you know.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
I mean, so, yes. I watched.
I watched the wrestling.
I watched Finding Nemo.
Dude. I love the turtle. Dude. So the feud actually begins when, you know, Crush comes back from an injury. And, you know, I guess the whole time leading up to it, Macho Man was talking about him on the side, about how he was helping him train, how to help him get him back into shape. And, you know, Crush, he was a babyface or a good guy before he got injured. He comes back. People are still unsure about his alliances or allegiances. And he makes it clear during this episode. And it traumatized me because I never knew how, actually I'm not even sure how medically true it is, but anyway, Crush picks up Macho Man after a couple axe handles. He picks him up into a gorilla press position where you have the guy over his head, and he drops him on the rail, and Macho Man is sidelined because he apparently crushed his throat.
Crushed his sternum.
His sternum, right, thank you. Or, yeah, basically he broke his neck, or the front part of his neck, and I was like traumatized as a kid, and like, I know there's a running gag on wrestling Twitter and wrestling social media where, you know, you see these kids crying in live shows and whatnot. If there was Instagram back when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure it would have been me like tearing in the side of my eye going like, why would you do that to your friend? And, you know, Macho Man at this point, he was semi-retired. I think he was doing his color commentary. It was like years after his main event feuds with Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. So, you know, in my head, I was like, oh, he's kind of retired. He's like an older guy. Why would you do that to him? And yeah, from then on, I thought like that was the killer move, is whenever you go for a guy's neck in wrestling, like, you're going to kill him. Don't do that. But yeah, so totally traumatizing. So kudos to those two for pulling something off like that, which led to a last man standing match at WrestleMania 10, one of the better WrestleManias ever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, yeah.
When you said you were going to talk about traumatizing and Macho Man, I thought you were going with Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh God, dude. Yeah. Thankfully, I don't think I was in the country yet then, so I didn't see it live.
Oh, you weren't ruined like I was. Huh?
Yes, it wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
They didn't even blur it, man. They didn't blur it.
I only saw the pictures in
WWF magazine. It was 11 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. And my dad was like, what the?
Okay. You know, not to break kayfabe or however you pronounce it. Was that a real?
A real snake.
It was a real snake. Yeah. Jesus,
and
dude.
He really bit him.
Holy, dude. Obviously.
That's how hardcore they were back then.
Yeah, I guess.
That's how dumb Macho Man was.
I know, dude.
He's like, I just remember the story. Like,
look, brother.
Because Macho Man was like, Macho Man's like, it's devenomized, right? And Jake was like, sure. and then he had Jake showed him, and he let Jake let himself get bit by the snake, so okay. Macho Man was assured, but he didn't know that it was gonna hold on for that long. So he's literally like writhing in pain because he's getting bit by a snake. So, you know.
Oh, good times.
So
America.
I have a bunch of movies, but since you're talking about wrestling, again, the filthy casual here. When I started watching wrestling, there was a storyline where I think it was Hogan was injured, and I think it was because of the earthquake. And because
of the wrestler earthquake.
Yes. Yeah, the Northridge quake got him. His home in Malibu. Sorry.
And then what is his name?
Tugboat.
Was Hogan's best friend at that time or something, and then out of nowhere, like one of the scenes was an earthquake. All of a sudden, like kicks the crap and like bludgeons like Tugboat. I was like, what the hell is happening? It was like one of the very first storylines I've ever seen. Like, I don't know much about wrestling. I was like, Why this man?
That was the year that you came to America.
That's his best friend. Why would you do that? And I think that's one of the things that kind of like got me. And then when Hogan finally beat him, like oh, everything, vindication. Thank God,
justice. Thank you.
Vengeance is finally his.
But if we're going traumatizing. Again, Filthy Casual, I don't know exactly what show it was. It was the Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle match. We've talked about this before.
King of the Ring 2001.
Oh, nice.
It was King of the Ring 2001.
I mean, and I have no idea.
It was the one where it was a sequence where Kurt Angle would body slur. What is that? Suplex?
Yeah,
he's trying to belly to belly
suplex. Overhead belly to belly. Onto the wall so that it would break onto the glass and everything.
It's supposed to break at least.
And I forget how many times. And it was just poof.
More
and
than then, one is too many.
And then you see his body like slide down. Yeah, and it hit his head. And I think after like the second or third time, I forgot who I was with. And I was like, stop it. Don't do that. Don't do that again. And they just kept on doing it over and over again. I was like, oh my God, I think he's dead.
Dude, that glass ripped up his face so bad.
Shane just like ragdoll.
No, that image is forever in my head because it's literally like, here's an overhead belly-to-belly suplex. And he just goes, dude.
You can almost hear the comical.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing missing. That squeegee sound.
If someone could ever make an edit where Shane stays against the wall, and then, because I remember there's an interview where even Angle was like, "Yeah, we didn't test the glass before that, but we thought it was gonna work." So that's why in the second one where he throws him back through the other way, he didn't even bother suplexing him. He just grabs him by the face just throws and him. Because he was like, I'm tired of this, man. And then Shane was like, just throw me through the glass, bro.
Please.
Can you stop with the suplexing on my head? I only got one head, bro. My next thing is American History X. We never talk about this movie.
We never do actually talk about the movie.
But it's a damn good movie. You've seen American
History X? Yeah.
I think it's because it's a good movie that we don't talk
about. No, it's because of the racial undertones and we're trying to say...
No.
Well, at the same time, it's like, yeah, you learn from it. But the two of the things is the curb stomp, which where the curb stomp came from.
Yeah.
That... Because it's real. Like, you know, like it's a moment that technically could happen.
Yeah.
It's actually,
wait, for a second, I thought you meant real as in it actually.
No, but people have been doing it because they learned it from that movie. Where it's like, bite the curb. And I'm like, dude, what happens if you bite a curb? And then someone steps in. Oh, okay. And then when, John Connor gets shot at the end. Because he,
John Connor.
John Connor had done his best to redeem himself.
Obviously, I have not watched that this part movie in a while.
It's actually Terminator X.
Terminator X
10.
The DJ from Public Enemy. But it's like, that movie is just weird because you remember what leads up to Edward Furlong getting shot in the face? He blows smoke in the guy's face.
I don't remember that, dude.
That's all he did.
Okay.
He was in... The guy was, like, trying to talk to him. Edward Furlong against... In the bathroom was like, I don't want to hear it. And he blew smoke in the guy's face. And the guy was like, that guy just blew smoke in my face. So I'm going to shoot him.
Why?
You know, like...
Smoke in the face.
Yeah. Racism.
Like, the whole movie is about redemption and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And except for the guy who got stopped.
Yeah, except for that guy.
No coming back from that one.
But Edward Furlong had to go to jail for that. You know, he got stuck with Kevin... Oh, no, I had Kevin Hart, but basically Kevin Hart. Like, if Kevin Hart was younger or older.
This is obviously a movie I've never watched before.
Kevin Hart was there?
I think it's
the Terminator and Kevin Hart.
It's one of the Tory brothers, but still, like... Yeah, that movie... Like, there were so many things where... Like, one of my friends, she was like, okay, let's watch this movie together just so we can learn about it. And then she was like, what is the lesson that you learned from it? I was like, nothing. There's no lesson. Redeem yourself and then people die.
Don't blow smoke in people's faces.
Yeah. Or like
Harold.
Sorry. I'm
going to curb stomp you next time.
Bite the curb, Harold.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jeez. For me, one of the last traumatizing moments would have to come from, '80s. Rated R movies were kind of, weird. I don't know why we're watching that stuff. But Terminator, the first Terminator movie, nothing graphic per se or none of the crazy moments where, the fleshy parts of Arnold burns off. But actually the traumatizing part for me and kind of introduced me to like, oh, this is what we're getting into, was when he was trying to repair himself. Or when the T-800 took some damage and he's in a hotel room by himself and he's trying to fix himself and he cuts himself right down the wrist and exposes the metal and workings underneath the flesh. That, for whatever reason, to me, like, stuck in my head about, like, oh my God, like, this is gruesome. Because, yeah, I mean, I was only probably around 10 years old at that time. But just seeing metal with blood and the fleshy muscle parts of Arnold's arm was kind of, like, scarring to the point where, like, I can't imagine, like, medical professionals doing this on a daily basis. Obviously not on any machines. But still, like, one of the really well-made, because it was just so visceral. And it was, like, you know, it was practical effects back then. So it was really well-made to the point where, yeah, I was really just not a fan of blood and gore. But the rest of the movie is great for me. Yeah.
I was actually going to use that as an example, too, because my cousins used to rewind that scene just for him taking his eyeball out.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because my cousins are not a lot older, but they're significantly older than me.
Uh huh.
And they would be like, "Hey, man, watch this real quick." And
I'm like, "You want to see something cool? You want to see something cool?"
Basically, Faces of Death for me.
Bite the curb.
Okay. Can we talk about Faces of Death afterwards, though? Thank you for reminding me about that.
Sorry.
One. Go ahead.
I just traumatized you all over again. The cow jumped out of a barnyard.
Oh, the mom and kid were just crossing the train tracks.
The last one for me is, you know, it's funny. It's easy to find the trauma in, like, movies like Terminator.
Yeah.
And I think previous episode, I talked about how Jaws has traumatized me. But it's oftentimes like the PG and PG-13 movies that is really the most traumatizing. And one that really sticks to my mind is from The Never Ending Story.
Oh, God damn it. Sorry, bleep me out again.
You know, I love that movie. I remember when I was younger, I always imagined how cool it would be to be that guy, you know, reading the book and actually experiencing.
Sebastian?
Yeah, being able to read and being able to experience all that. But, you know, all of it is cool. All of it is really weird, kind of unsettling. But the fact that you see a long extended scene where Artax, the horse, just slowly but surely sinks. It's not like, you know, you cut to it. It's like, oh, no, he's dead. You're there for like 5 minutes slowly.
It lingers bad.
and you know, Atreyu, I think his name.
Yes.
Atreyu, the actor for Atreyu, is really like emoting and really like the talking, like crying. And like, somebody ended this. And that horse's misery, please. But no, it just keeps on going and going and going. To this day, if you go upstairs, a wall of like a little drawings.
Oh, that's
I
right.
Actually have Atreyu and Artax. Oh,
that's right, you do.
So a few years ago, one of our friends was having a party at her house. And you know how her husband's a DJ, so we're all in the backyard. She was DJing. But someone inside the house was watching that movie on Netflix. And I just happened to go to use the restroom during that scene, and I was like, there's a whole movie, and the one scene that I come into, and I was like, well, this screwed up my day. But I had to sit there, and I'd be like,
Artax! Harold's in the bathroom. Artax!
You should have pulled harder, Trey. What are you doing, bro?
What a weenie.
What a weenie. That guy ruined everything. My last moment is actually a TV moment, and this might be a spoiler for some people, because I don't think you guys have ever seen the show, and some of the listeners may have not either, but the show is called Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
And the main character involved in this is Peggy Bundy. So, you know,
what?
Peggy Bundy is, you know,
Leela.
Yeah. Leela. Leela is, her name in the show is Gemma.
She grew a second eye. Okay, great.
Yeah. Good. She grew a second eye. No, the first one split in two because it's big enough. But, so she's the mom of the main character, but she's also married to the other main character. So the whole thing is it's a motorcycle club, mm-hmm. and they have like do duties and whatnot. And there's one scene in one of the seasons where the main character's girlfriend betrays him by going and talking to the FBI. And she's basically going to rat him out. And she's about to do it, but Gemma, her name is Gemma in the show, she decides, you know what, I can't let my son go out like this. I can't let my husband and our whole motorcycle club go out for this particular thing. So out of nowhere, in a weird fit of rage and like she's under the influence of something, she decides to take a like a prong, like a long thing, and stabs her in the back of the head.
Oh,
they show this, by the way. This is a show on.
It's on TV.
Okay. This is on TV. They show her stab her in the back of the head, and then while she's stabbing her in the back of the head, she puts her head in the sink and drowns her.
Oh,
that's so rough. That's recent.
That's rough.
That was in the last.
That's a rough 10 way to go.
Years. And like watching it, I was like, "Good Lord!" I had nightmares for days. About, like, if I was taking a shower and all of a sudden someone would stab me in the back of the head and hold my mouth open to the shower and just, like, let me go that way. That's how my mind works, by the way. So.
Wow. Harold's never washed dishes since.
No.
Actually, that's not the reason.
I'm lazy. And they're mostly my dishes. So. And then I get nightmares about me wanting to put my own head in the dish and I'm like, the mold.
That's what you're more concerned about. I'm gonna drown.
I left this dish in my car for 3 weeks. It's not adobo anymore.
No, with all that vinegar, it'd still be okay.
It's just milk. Right? The white stuff is milk?
Yes. Okay, so that's it for us today. Good topic. I think I don't know about you, but I still have a ton of examples of movies and TV shows.
We can continue this.
Yeah, we can continue eventually down the line when we run out of topics. But I hope you enjoyed our episode today. You know, what we do this for fun. We do this just because we like having fun. But at the same time, it'll also be nice to hear from you guys. It'll also be nice for you guys to start sharing and liking our posts. So whether you are, and Harold will talk about where you can listen to us. But, you know, just make sure to like, review, you know, share, do all those things. You know, if you're listening to this, most likely you are on podcasting site. But if you need to go back to all of our previous episodes, which is, we're at like 120-something. Already. Wow. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, go to the twofanboysonecasual.podbean.com for all of our previous episodes. And of course,
on Facebook, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we will be posting it there. Also, feel free to add us or join our group. Very active, fun bunch of nerds and fanboys and fangirls talking news and sharing all the good stuff, memes, jokes, and all that good stuff.
And then also on Instagram and Twitter at Two Fanboys One Casual. And like Dennis said, iTunes, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, anywhere you can find your favorite podcast, we are on there as well.
Yeah, we are the best podcast that people have not heard about. So start sharing. That's it for us today. Hopefully you enjoyed our episode. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Our turn!